And coming your way next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's, of course, that Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon show, Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides. Today is March 18th, 2018. This show is going to have a special focus on activist David Minton Silva, who died a week ago, and the sleeping ban, which isn't really a unique focus. We've been doing that for decades. But we're going to particularly include lots of flashbacks to David's work, his previous appearances on Free Radio Santa Cruz, or his voice anyway. And don't have a lot of what people said about him, but there is a report from his niece, who we spoke with, I think it was the day after he died. And she was one of the last people that I know that he spoke to, though he did talk to doctors over in Mozambique, Maputo. Well, I shouldn't say talk to doctors. He looked at doctors. He had a tracheostomy, I think it's called, or tracheostomy. I haven't got the word properly put, but he died of pneumonia. And although I don't know what the official death certificate said, he was largely intubated with a tube down his throat for 2 weeks before he died, though that was removed at several points, moved from hospital to hospital. And not the happiest tale, but, we're going to remember him tonight, or I should say this morning. And this, of course, is a pre-recorded show. If you have some memorials yourself to pass on, some memories of David Silva, give me a call at 423-4833, and we'll add them for the Thursday show and continue this memorial process. You are tuned, of course, to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org in Santa Cruz, and I hope you stay tuned to listen to the show.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So today's show is going to be mostly flashbacks. I do have a bit of new material, and I'm going to be beginning with that, and then mostly for the rest of the show, probably from 10:30 or 11 o'clock onward, you're going to be hearing essentially an old show from May 25th, 2008, which features an even further flashback to 1997, a community TV show which had David Silva as one of the panelists speaking on behalf of ending the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz in a debate, kind of a panel discussion that went out by television, and I caught the audio portion of it. And you're going to be able to hear that again, plus various commentary from myself and activist Thomas Levitt and a few other activists who were on the air in 2008 calling in. At that time, we had an active phone line, and I suppose it's my time to remind everybody that we are still looking for a studio. The one we thought we'd got doesn't have the electricity that we'd hoped, strangely enough. So we're continuing our search, and we're continuing to offer the $500 reward. If you find one for a year and lead us to that, you get a reward. And if you don't think that's what happened, talk to Keith McHenry of Food Not Bombs. And you'll learn that we do, in fact, do what we say. So give us a call at 423-4833 if you have any ideas in the Santa Cruz area where there's a place that we can set up a 10x10 studio structure. It could be indoors or outdoors. It just needs access to electricity, to the internet, and, of course, to the bathroom somewhere. And or a go. 423-4833 is also the number of HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And HUF, which had an emergency meeting last week to sort of pull things together, both because of David Silva's death and also because there was a city council meeting, which some of you were able to hear part of. If you could rush back and forth quickly enough to your volume on your computer or on your radio, because there was some really unfortunate volume differences between my voice and the recording that I got off the city's website for the city manager's report on the River Street Boneyard Barbed Wire Campground, which he discussed at some length. And hopefully that won't be repeated this time. We're not going to be having, I hope, that differential. So my apologies to listeners who suffered hearing problems as a consequence of the last broadcast or gave up. Don't give up. It's might be worth it for you to continue. So what I'm going to begin with is part of a conversation I had with Nina Rippey, who is David Silva's niece. This happened a day or two before David Silva died. And the reason I'm playing this, you're going to be hearing David in all his strength in some of the flashbacks. And you'll be hearing people's, maybe in the future, you'll be hearing people's memories about what kind of a person he was and how they felt about him. But I think it's really important for those of us who want to be real about life to understand often what happens, the rather gruesome process that happens right before we die, often for many of us. It's not like it is in the movies, although it has its, you know, it can have its up points, and you'll hear a little of that too. We have to realize what's likely to befall us or befall our friends or befall those we care about. And that might make us perhaps more appreciative of the time we have with them. I don't know. I mean, that's a sort of another cliche. It's hard to be honest about these kinds of subjects. They're really well layered with traditional feelings and required emotions. And, you know, you're not supposed to speak ill of the dead, for instance. I try to be honest about people who have died and how I feel or don't feel or whatever about them. David always evoked all kinds of mixed feelings in me. And I'm going to let most of this broadcast let other people do the speaking and also let him do the speaking, because many times, and particularly more recently, I liked what he said and how he said it. Oft times I didn't. And, you know, that's also true. But here's a little of Nina Rippey, his cousin, or his niece, sorry, talking to me by phone, as I said, a day or two before he died.
Well, you know, disheartening. Kind of felt real heavy this morning on my chest, you know. And I just, you know, was discouraged that he was, you know, not doing well. And then I just felt like something wasn't right this morning, for most of the morning. And she called me, you know. And so...
Now, are you pretty intuitive about these things in other respects? I mean, have you had similar feelings when other people have been in trouble, or is this something that's just happened now?
No, I think I feel the intuitiveness. My mom was like that too, and I could just feel that something was happening. I didn't know exactly what, but I had a feeling it was something to do with his condition. And I don't know if she told you. Did she tell you that his his blood pressure is real low?
I think she mentioned that. She said, you know, they want to x-ray him, but they can't because they can't move him, and they haven't got a portable x-ray machine, and they haven't got a portable respirator, and so forth. And, she wasn't sure. They can't really diagnose what his problem is because
They said, well, I wasn't clear why, except that they would, if they were in a fancy American hospital or maybe in an I-Corps, they could. But she also said there's no way of transferring him. She doesn't think it's likely they could transfer him back to I-Corps because his bill is too high, you know.
So, ridiculous.
You know.
Yes, human life is not as important as that, you know, but...
Yeah.
That's my family member, of course, I'd say that, but, you know...
No, you would say... I mean, you know, you can say that without it being your family member, so...
Yeah, it's just... It has turned out to be a nightmare, and... what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday? Made three weeks since he was hospitalized.
And I've mentioned this in past broadcasts. David chose to travel alone, to Mozambique, which is a country in the south of Africa, right next to the Union of South Africa, almost near the tip of South Africa. It's a former Portuguese colony, and before that it was probably had a lot better treatment from the locals who lived there before the Portuguese took over. Who knows? He was concerned. David was made numerous journeys, as you may remember if you listened to Bob LaMonica, who remembered David on Thursday when he talked about him on the air here. David has a Portuguese background. Bob said he spoke Portuguese, and he traveled to different places, Goa, Macau, other Portuguese areas where Portuguese people settled. And finances were... at least in the opinion of the doctors who were treating him, a significant part of his situation. He was in a hospital which was sort of an upper grade hospital that American embassy people recommended, called I-Corps, according to the reports I received. But they were charging $2,000 a day to keep him on a respirator, and they kept demanding more and more money from people, which actually they didn't get much money from people. I think there was one large donation that came through, and there was some money that was gathered by his niece. But eventually they transferred him to the People's Hospital. Well, maybe that's where he would have wanted to go, although apparently the medical care there was reportedly much worse. And I may at some point in the future play some reminiscences of the woman who spent some time by his side. She called me up actually a day or two before this conversation you're listening to, and she talked about him and how she played music that he liked, and she had some kind of communication with him in a way, although she couldn't speak. In any case, finances had a significant impact on this, according to the reports there. As it does with poor people everywhere throughout the world, and particularly in the United States, where medical costs are essentially profits for the insurance companies, and no doubt medical profession as well.
So you say that he fought hard, and yesterday when I video chatted with him, he was trying to talk. He was trying so hard to speak to me. It was almost heartbreaking. His mouth was moving real fast, and they had to keep exceptioning him out because it was so hard to tell me something, and he just can't communicate. You know, they say that tracheotomy that he had, it affects his vocal cords also, and he doesn't realize he can't just freely speak.
How long did you try to talk to him on the phone for? How long were you on the video with him for?
I want to say between 3 to 5 minutes, and then I talked to Abigail for a little bit.
What did the surroundings look like to you?
You know, it looked surprisingly from the horror stories that, you know, we had in our head, how, you know, just unsanitary, et cetera. It looked really surprisingly clean. You know, the bedding was clean from what I could see. The pillow and, you know, the blue blanket around, and everything looked really clean.
It was a pretty clear visual image.
Oh, yeah, really clear.
And
I could see him really well. He actually has grown in a beard, you know.
Indeed.
And, he looked really good. I even told him, gosh, you look so good, and kind of batted his eyes a little bit. It was really funny. So as far as brain function, I really feel from the way he was looking at me and trying to communicate, I feel like he, you know, didn't lose any brain function.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm just, we're kind of just relying on these, you know, these people that have stepped in and helped, and Abigail really turned out to be really helpful.
Abigail was an American doctor, or so she was described to me. She actually had a couple of conversations with me on the phone. She called on her own dime from Mozambique and provided him with all kinds of different small comforts, ranging from medications to other things.
She said she's sitting there with him now, and she's going to play him some music. I don't know if she mentioned that to you, but
she did.
Sit with him.
Did she mention what kind of music he likes?
Well, I had given her a few ideas, you know, and different things. You know, there's a Monte Deus is a, she's a Portuguese singer, and me and David were kind of talking about that on the phone, and he just said he really likes her stuff, and, you know, like Etta James and different music like that, and I kind of gave her some ideas of things maybe just to play some soothing stuff for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's, I don't know if she's still there, but she said she was going to stay for a while. And
when did you talk to her?
Just, gosh, I don't even think it's been an hour. As soon as she got off the phone with me, she said she was going to try to get in touch with you somehow. So, and I did text her your number.
And she did.
She had it, but she didn't want to be searching for it. She was trying to, you know, get a few people on the phone with him that he cares about.
Uh-huh. Well, she was successful. As I said, we talked, and I recorded some of what she said so that I could pass it on to other people.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm doing the same with you, so, it, you know, some of the, what you're saying can be passed on, too, if you're up for that, if you're okay with
it. Yeah, I am, and this has just been so much. I mean, she wanted me to say a few things to him, and I was talking to him about, you know, my grandmother, his mom, and my mom, and telling them, you know, there's no more pain from here, and just trying to be as positive as I could and tell him I love him. And, you know, I feel so bad there's not people there around him that he cares about. I, you know, if he does pass, I didn't want him to pass like that. But, you know, it just seems like, you know, Dr. Abigail seems like she's a really sweet woman, and her even being there is comforting on some level, because I just don't want him to be there alone.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, as soon as I hear something, I'll let everybody know, and I just, you know, see what happens. And if I'll be making my way to Santa Cruz sometime, so maybe we can all get a chance to meet. And
yeah, definitely.
At some point, I have my grandparents. I'm planning their memorial service the 24th of this month, but I'm thinking maybe after that's done, I'll probably be taking a trip up that way. Because there's been a group of really great people even there in Santa Cruz that have helped a lot, including yourself and, you know, his workers and, you know, Lori and some really great people that have stepped in and really helped, so... Looking forward to meeting all of you.
Well, you definitely should let me know. We'll slurp coffee together, if nothing else.
Okay. That sounds good. I just wanted to touch base with you on the phone, and just, you know, I was really hoping that she could get in touch with you, and I'm glad that you got a chance to maybe at least, you know, chat with him, and, you know, I know he probably heard every bit of it, so it's probably comforting to him.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, call again if you want, when you want, whenever you want, and we'll continue this conversation. And I will, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I'll put it in my my noggin and see what comes up next.
Okay, Robert. Thanks a lot for everything. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Nina.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There's no place in this world where I'll belong when I'm gone. And I won't know the right from the wrong when I'm gone. And you won't find me singing on this song when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't feel the flowing of the time when I'm gone. All the pleasures of love will not be mine when I'm gone. My pen won't pour a lyric line when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't breathe the bracing air when I'm gone. And I can't even worry about my cares when I'm gone. Won't be asked to do my share when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't be running from the rain when I'm gone. And I can't even suffer from the pain when I'm gone. Can't say who's to praise and who's to blame when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. Won't see the golden of the sun when I'm gone. And the evenings and the mornings will be one when I'm gone. Can't be singing louder than the guns while I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. All my days won't be dances of delight when I'm gone, and the sands will be shifting from my side when I'm gone. Can't add my name into the fight while I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't be laughing at the lies when I'm gone. And I can't question how or when or why when I'm gone. Can't live proud enough to die when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. There's no place in this world where I'll belong when I'm gone. And I won't know the right from the wrong when I'm gone. And you won't find me singing on this song when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it. I guess I'll have to do it. Guess I'll have to do it while I'm here.
So it's March 11th, 2018, around 5 o'clock. I'm at the Food Now Bombs Sunday feeding. It's also the year anniversary of the Forbidden Fence, which is now festooned with a 10-foot, 12-foot, 15-foot long Food Now Bombs banner. And folks are eating, tables are up. There are a few chairs for folks to sit down. QZ is here, seated in a chair. And there's a really free market, which is simply a ground cloth laid out on the ground for items to be displayed on and picked up, left, and enjoy it, I guess. And there's also, I don't see a lot of decorations on the fence yet. Well, what do you think of the car?
I think you're missing a few stickers.
Yeah, I am. I need more. Give me my stickers. I want stickers.
I know. You just need about a whole more wall and a whole nother voice.
I should warn you, I'm recording you for free radio.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, you you ought to charge about like a penny, and you might may get it.
You want to talk about the exciting Food Not Bombs meal? Have you been enjoying yourself here?
It was great, man. The psychedelic bomb was pretty good, but the food was better.
I see you got some in your hands there. Rice, bread, salad. Where's the meat?
Well,
oh, wait. It's Food Not
Bombs. With the pork.
I see you're going to dump the pork.
Fork. I need a fork.
Oh, fork, not pork.
I would eat pork, but you know, pigs are an endangered species right now, and
swine are running the country. What are you saying? I guess I don't want to offend the porkers. That'd be wrong, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm scratching myself silly, and now I'm leaving it to them to scratch everybody else silly.
Now, are you indoors or outdoors?
Well, I'm almost institutionalized, but I just don't know which institution.
So are you spending your time in a sleeping bag under the stars or indoors somewhere?
Well, I'm trying not to get too wet at night, but I'm sleeping outside.
And are you getting hassled by police or having a lot of fun or just surviving? What's the story?
I'm just doing all right. I'm doing all right.
No hassles?
No, my issues are my issues, but ain't nobody come up and made an issue out of not having enough tissue.
Now, do you have to move to more, you know, sort of isolated spots, or do you find yourself comfortable where you are?
I'm isolated and I'm spotted. Like a leopard.
I've spotted you myself.
I'm like a leopard without a tiger stripe. I'm just spotted a different way.
I'm going to let you get to your food here. We've been talking with Anonymous. Thank you, sir.
Have a good day.
All right. There's
something, but I forgot what it was.
Well, who is that dog you have with you?
Who is that dog I have with me? I don't know if he wants me to tell you who he is. He might be
he's keeping a low profile?
Yeah, he's a secret agent.
Well, he seems very mellow for an undercover kind of dog.
Yeah, well, you got to be. If you're going to be an undercover dog, you got to be stealth. You got to stay under the cover.
Indeed. Now, I assume he has a place to go to at night, or is he, too, sleeping outside?
He's got first-class accommodations.
Most pets do in this society.
Yeah.
Pets, not people. That's our motto.
I'm his humble servant. I'm his chauffeur. I walk around behind him with a bag picking up his poo-poo.
What is your name, sir?
My name?
We'll see what goes on here.
Oh, let's see. I'm Pee-wee's humble servant.
So Pee-wee's servant. We'll call you PHS for short.
Yeah.
So what brings you to this Food Not Bombs activity today? I see a lot of signs on the fence here.
Keith McHenry always brings me here. He's a longtime friend, and we met on a peace march in 1986, and I've been in touch with him, and I go hang out in Taos on the farm with him, and we sit around a campfire, just, you know, go through and grab some potatoes that's grown and grab some corn on a cob, and we throw it on the fire and toast them up and sit around at nighttime and look at the stars, and if the moon's out, we're even more blessed, you know what I mean?
And are you a resident now of Santa Cruz?
No.
You're just sort of a travel...
Alien.
You're a trip.
I just popped in, you know?
But you just happened to show up.
Yeah, I just happened to show up.
Well,
see what he's doing. Check in with him. Make sure he's okay.
Indeed.
He's in the hospital. You know, he had a back surgery. A
couple of times, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And I just left another friend. He had two strokes in a row.
You're pretty healthy still, it looks like.
I hope so. You know, I feel good.
And we've been talking with...
With Pee-wee's humble servant.
PHS. Thank you, PHS.
Thank you. What's your name?
I'm Robert.
Robert.
Cheers.
Thank you.
May humanity be with you. What's your name, sir? If you wish to say. You're trying to chew your food. That's kind of difficult to chew and talk at the same time. I guess... I'm wondering about accommodations downtown. You've been living downtown for a while, yes? You're nodding. Are rents going up downtown, or are they stabilized for you? I'm not sure if you said yes or no. What did you? You're going up. And what about this rent control freeze passed by the city council? Has that had any impact on your rents?
I don't know.
I may have to grill you on that next time I speak to you.
Yeah.
Find out, let me know. I'd be curious.
And then all the stuff.
But yeah, if you get new information about that, I'd be curious to know what's going on. And anything happening downtown you want to comment on?
No.
Well, chow down is all I could say. You're welcome. And let's listen to Keith McHenry. He was being interviewed by some bearded weirdo. Everybody's got beards around here except...
Yep, that's exactly true. He's running.
I'm running
for my life. So why don't you introduce this nice man here? I'm going to take a couple more pictures. I'll be right back.
So I'm talking to a cameraman who's trained his camera on me. What's your name, sir? If you wish to say.
Maximilian.
And Max, you know, nobody's giving their names today. This is kind of interesting. Perhaps a little suspicious. How long have you been cameraing here today? And has anything camera-worthy happened? Or are we just doing the usual thousands of hours of film that disappear into the...
cutting room floor?
Yes,
absolutely. Well, the man of the hour, the man of the year, this is our first year anniversary of the anti-homeless fence around the post office.
Nobody brought the wire clippers, though, I noticed.
That might end up being a crime. You don't want to get caught.
Crime would be the fence itself, I would say.
Yes. Well, when they do it, it's policy. That's all legitimate. It's legal. Legally binding, we're going to do it downright illegally. No.
Don't be mystified by their bizarre narratives. You've got to find your own story and live it out, my son.
You go first.
I'm still working on the rough draft.
Take
rehearsals.
Time,
rehearsals. I'm rehearsing.
Okay, yeah, better like next life.
Is there a next life? I don't know. So, we'll leave this anonymous. Oh, no, Max. We're going to leave Max here. Anything? Max, you're originally from, you're kind of from out of the area yourself.
Oh, gosh. My dad was in the Navy, so I'm a military brat. I've grown up in the Pacific Ocean.
Did you bring your weapon with you?
A weapon, critical
you've
thinking.
Training. You're an NRA member.
Being in the military, I wasn't in the military directly. My dad was. So I didn't really grow up in the States, so I'm an immigrant as well.
So are you one of the many illegal, undocumented immigrants that is betraying our nation by sneakily hiding in sanctuary cities, of which they say Santa Cruz is one?
Santa Cruz is a sanctuary city? How did Beach Flats happen?
I am not experienced in these issues, Max. Maybe you can give us your expertise.
This guy knows.
He laughs. So, again, we have another example of passing the buck with the camera. Well, thank you. And we've been talking with...
Maximilian.
Thank you, Max.
Not today.
No updates today. But at least you're resting by the fence. I want to hear more later about what's going on. So.
We want more hugs.
There are...
I'm playing on Thursday night, unless you object.
Want to sit down here and do some drumming?
I'm good.
It's spooky stuff. Okay, they call themselves, they'll go, us government. What they really were saying, they call themselves, they are United Socialists. There's no such political party, but they are trying to make you a target, or me a target. I got hurt last night.
Quick interview? Anonymous report that it's like an anonymous war out there, problems that happened for this guy last night. Perhaps we'll learn more about it in the future.
It's a hate crime. You know, they're these sneaks that wander around in the middle of the night. They use anything that's a weapon. I got hit by a mallet. I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying I'm getting really irritated by the fact that at nighttime these idiots are running around and they run away. Okay? They do it. They hurt you and they run.
Where did you get hit? I mean, where were you?
Water Street, down here. Down over that way.
About what time was it?
About 2. They would have run in packs.
How many were there when they approached you?
Damn near 10.
And did they say anything?
So, look, you laid out, you're sleeping, okay? You're minding your own damn business, okay? And these sneaks put you on a map. You know, the internet, the Google thing. All up the use of the internet. That's how they find you. They're recording everything. You know what I'm saying? They read scripts. They got a guidebook. It's trippy, man. I can't listen to that one.
Hey, thank you, man.
Yeah, I'm hurting right now.
Well,
you know, but I got to find $5. And Keith ain't in the mood to help me out with that, I guess. We ain't got no money in the kitty can. But anyway, this afternoon over at San Lorenzo Park, there was like a party going on. Spring break kind of like party. It was so damn loud, even I couldn't believe it. Sound waves were bouncing off walls.
It's a middle-class, touristish type.
It wasn't. It was like a taco trucks and all that.
Yeah.
The music was kind of, I never heard anything like it, but I was getting hurt by the stuff. Too loud. Like this town, you know, everything's making an effed-up loud noise now. You got those stupid Mustangs zooming around. You got the ambulance zooming around. I'm going deaf. Literally. I'm not mad at you.
I hear you. I don't think you're mad at me.
If you paid attention, okay, how long do you think this homeless thing has been going on for?
Ever since I got here.
Chocolate?
Yeah, I got to get out of here. He's going to give me my head.
Yeah, thank you,
sir. I can't get my medicine until tomorrow, I guess.
All right. Well, you take care, man.
Hey.
Listening to a little drumming here.
You had any meetings?
Oh, yeah, every 2 weeks. A week from Wednesday, there's another Huff meeting.
A week from next Wednesday, I'll be in
11 a.m. Santa Rosa.
I'll be in.
And we're talking with?
I'll be in the Venice Beach Drum Circle that next Sunday.
Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks after that.
Maybe we'll see you one of these days.
I'm going to go see Pussy Riot at the Catalyst.
Know nothing about them.
It's the band that was on Democracy Now, the players that went to jail in Russia.
Oh, Pussy Riot.
Pussy Riot. You know how to say Pussy Riot in Russian?
No.
Pussy Riot!
Very good. And we've been talking with?
Mr. James in the Sunshine.
Thank you, J-I-S-I-T-S. Hey, Kim, anything for free radio? Man signing a petition and another man distributing petitions and getting signatures. Any hassles getting these signatures from any authorities here?
Not yet, no.
Have you tried outside Trader Joe's and seen what they
say? I did that 2 years ago. Didn't have a problem.
Excellent. But you haven't tried it this year yet?
No. I've been doing mostly in Silicon Valley, Whole Foods, which has a big sign outside. Saying do not contribute to solicitors, but I'm not soliciting for money.
Right.
I'm just getting signatures. So they don't. I always talk to the manager first. Go out on. No problem. I don't go every day to talk to the manager. Just one time. They let you do work.
How about Capitola? Have you been out there?
I did that 2 years ago. No problem.
Well, that's great. You're doing. And I have heard.
You've got to give respect to the people and not harass people.
Positive report actually earlier in the last couple weeks. A guy said he was a traitor. Trader Joe's without being hassled.
This is a really good initiative.
And we're listening to him
now. It helps the poor, low-income people, patients, by increasing tax on personal income over $1 million. It tax them 1%, and it helps low-income people with hospitals, clinics, and primary care providers serving low-income patients.
Who's distributing it? What organization's behind it?
I don't know who's behind each initiative. I don't know that. It's hard to find out.
Good question, though.
But I work with Bay Area Petitions. It's a local family in Santa Cruz, and they help a lot of homeless people do this work. Most of the people doing this are homeless. They're living out of their vans or their vehicle, or they're on the foot, on foot.
Right. But the question is, what do the petitions say, and are they...
There are some that are very progressive. Some are kind of backwards, right. You know, restrictive.
Right.
And there are two I can explain that are... Initially, they come off as very difficult, but they actually have some benefit.
Well, I mean, it's a kind of a mixed bag. You're giving homeless people funding for doing this.
Yeah.
At the same time, you're, you know, putting on the ballot initiatives that may confuse voters.
This one restricts parole for nonviolent offenders.
So that means they automatically just go free? I mean, they have no...
No, they do their parole. But then once they do it, they don't add on more parole. For nonviolent offenders.
So we hear this description, but we don't hear who is actually putting them out. And we've been listening to the work of, if you wish to say.
Ba-bump, ba-bump, ba-bump.
Ba-bump, ba-bump, ba-bump. Thank you, Senor.
Talalafi is my name.
Ah, say it again.
It means bring peace and health. Talalafi.
Is that on your driver's license?
Yeah. Talalafi is on my license.
Amazing. Okay, Talalafi, thank
bring
you.
Bring peace.
Thank you.
And help.
Watch your step. I'll say, first they came for the homeless on the fence. I did not speak out because I was not homeless. Then they came for the Mexicans. Not speak, I was not a Mexican. Then they came for the Muslims. I did not speak out because I was not a Muslim. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out. Timothy Randall, 61, RIP. The Unwanted, Remove the Unwanted. Brian Smalley, 42, RIP. Kelly Caramella, 58, RIP. And there's a couple of, looks like children's drawings on the fence. Bits of fabric.
Getting to bother me now.
What's
that? No fun. Santa Cruz ain't no fun. It's not fun no more. It's not fun anymore. The obvious stuff's happening. They're building stupid buildings for them, never for you. You know, you got engineers and people like who had a place to live, had a good job, and they're phasing certain companies out. And guess, because Trump's in, and we got an idiotic governor who's on his way out, it's just going to get worse. People are going to be running away from America. They're not going to want to stick around.
Unless they have money, of course.
Well, they've got little islands and freaking stupid golf courses and all that. Again, I'm not liking the future at all. You can't escape it. You can drink it away or come back. You know? These idiots think they control the future, that they're living in the freaking future. They'll brag about certain things that they got, okay? Like an X-ray scanning device, another iPad. It sees everything. It knows what you got.
Like surveillance
devices.
Like
like a rat thing. Computer thing, and it's totally illegal. They have bad electronics out. Can you imagine running into the sun? It uses a plutonium pellet. It takes no batteries. You don't plug it into the wall. It doesn't do the internet. I
haven't seen that yet. And again, we've been talking with
Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
There was this other one.
What's that?
There's this other one.
Let me get back here.
Okay.
I've got a limited amount of.
They have a computer thingy. Okay. It's SATCOM Link. It's attached to a satellite.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Massage guy giving massages on a table. He's laid out. And there are a few people who are leaning against the forbidden fence. And more signs. Again, a lot of people's names. Mason Daniel Womack, Valerie Pepin, Daniel Hendrickson, Christian Bazor. I think I remember that name. Deborah Tapiti. Timothy Foster, and then sleep deprivation is torture. Sleeping is a right. Freedom Sleepers, an ancient flyer. Any reports for Free Radio?
No.
Thank you. I recognize this person. Any reports from the sidewalk?
I was almost murdered at the Locust Street Garage bathroom.
How long ago was that?
About 2-3 weeks ago.
And have you gotten into any, or tried to get any of these this new campground thing?
New campground?
River Street Campground out at, you know, they call it the River Street Campground. It's out at 1220 River Street, right as you head out of town on Highway 9.
I hadn't heard of it before, no.
Yeah, it's a...
I don't know if it's any good. It's, you know, it's better than what they've done in the past. You heard about the San Lorenzo campground, probably.
Yeah, they cleared that out. They had.
Did.
Yeah.
Did you use that one? Or?
Music festival there today.
Yeah. I heard there was something going on today. Did you use the River Street, I mean, the San Lorenzo campground while it was there?
No, I didn't, no. I knew it was there, but I didn't. I wasn't part of that group.
What have you, I mean, have you been left alone by police when you sleep at night?
As far as I know, yeah, there's been problems with, there's a gal who was threatening me at the bathroom. And she's sleeping over at the, what is it? It's called the, the shop that has the pots and pans. They sell the pots and pans there. The toque something, whatever it is.
Not sure, but go ahead.
Yeah, she camps over there, and she is threatening me, telling me not to use the bathroom at the Locust Street Garage.
She doesn't like you using the Locust Street bathroom?
She doesn't like me using a bathroom. So I guess,
does she want you to take a crap in the street?
Or? I don't know. I guess she doesn't want me to go potty or whatever. So. Well. But, yeah, and then some gal came, and it was on a Sunday morning, and she's, you know, I'm going to knock over your bike and trailer and blah, 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 and she was going to get some type of weapon out of her purse and is telling me to leave town and all sorts of horrible things. And I yelled, I called for help and so forth, and a guy came and helped. But
Well, you do have, you know, more stuff than almost anyone here. This is, looks like you got your life with you on the bike and the bike trailer.
I have.
Right, this is what you got.
Any property or, you know, stashed anywhere.
Stocks and bonds?
No stocks and bonds. No property in and out of the United States, you know. No jewelry, blah, 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 you know, coins.
No safe,
you know,
deposit box, perhaps.
No safe deposit box, you know.
Real estate property, perhaps.
No, I don't have any bank accounts either, and, you know, all that. You know, I don't have any of that.
Have you been hassled by police for having this much stuff? We're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, oh, maybe 7 or 8 bags.
I haven't had any police harassing me about, you know, the property that I have left. But I tried to get into the River Street shelter, and of course, there you can only have a little small bag, and that has to go through a hot box and so forth. But no, they you know, don't want me to. Have my bike at the Friendship Garden anymore, you know, right at the front of town.
It's now called the Hostility Garden?
No, it's supposed to be the Friendship Garden.
Where is the Friendship?
It's just that little garden area right in between the post office and Bank of the West.
Oh, the kind of the triangular area.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be a Friendship Garden, and the police officer told me I couldn't park my bike there.
What,
you know,
is it they don't like? They don't like the color of your bike?
I don't know. He said he had to park it in a bike rack or park it parallel to the curb.
I see. They've suddenly got a new rule for you. How nice.
Yeah, and I can't sing Yankee Doodle in public.
Now I understand that. Yankee Doodle, that could be dangerous.
Yeah, that would be, you know, American Revolution, you know, a rebel, you know, patriot.
You don't want to stir up the natives.
They don't want me to be a patriot. So
where do you... Do you have a place you normally sleep that you wish to comment on? I don't want you to expose any secrets here.
Well, the gal that threatened me at the Locust Street bathroom, she was, said she was camping at the, in fact, last night she did too. She camped at the toque something place where they have all the cooking supplies and all. But anyways, the other night I went to throw something out of the garbage can in that area, and someone had stacked up a bunch of stones. And there's like square stones, two round ones, and put two rocks next to the street light there. And I go, well, that gal, she's really bad, you know. She's throwing it, you know. In fact, she threatened to throw one in my head. So, but...
conflicts on the streets.
Yeah, and so he says, you know, well, how many were there? It's like, well, it's like there are 12 stones and 2 rocks.
Are they telling you to get stoned? Is that the idea?
I don't know. I think it was one short of 13, which would be, you know, a barbarian invasion. So I think, I don't know, it's sort of like, you know, summer camp mentality, you know, where it's like, you know, a war zone and all that.
So, turf wars.
Yeah, hers, she's got, you know, that one area, and then the area where, you know, I camp is like another area.
And we have been talking with?
Roberta Titus.
Of course, Roberta. I'd forgotten your name, but now you reminded me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Shit, thinking in the living room. Hoping that my parents don't come home too soon. Getting stoned, watching on their color TV. Wondering what the future holds for me. They drown me in their sermons about God and flag. They make my school a prison yard, it's such a drag. The leaders that they follow are just bought and sold crooks.
Daddy, You've Been Played by Red Shadow. Back now to interviews with the Food Not Bombs folks from a week ago.
Keith McHenry, co-founder of Food Not Bombs, at the anti-homeless fence decorating party's first anniversary.
Did anybody other than you decorate the fence?
Yeah, Sylvia came, a bunch of people. People from the Raging Grannies came, put up stuff, and it was pretty good.
Did Martine Bernal show up?
He did not. He
failed. How about Chief Mills?
No.
Mauro Garcia?
No.
Trisha?
No.
Susan O'Hara?
No.
Well, you missed on the key players did not show, Keith.
That's true.
It's not a good showing.
No. They don't want to pay attention to the anniversary of the fence Well, that's there.
As I asked before, where are the wire clippers? Now, if this were People's Park, they would simply be removing the fucking fence. What, are you putting little things up on the... What is this, some sort of half-assed approach, Mr. Nonviolent Guy?
Well, I'm in no condition to go to jail this month, so anyway, otherwise.
Now, what, for as far as Vunau bombs is concerned, since this is going out, this may not be a question you want to answer, would you regard some erstwhile person who came with a pair of clippers and started clipping the fence away?
Oh, I'd be happy. I mean, I've unwound the fence repeatedly.
You have unwound the fence? Is this a confession here?
Yeah, I unwind it a lot. You can see how it's unwound over there. This was completely unwound and coming completely to the ground at one point. I'm happy to unwind fences. I haven't been cutting
like
fences.
Can help them relax, unwind.
Yeah, you can see I unwind it over there.
I see some holes in the fence.
Yeah, I've unwound it all around.
Kind of allow
that, I don't think, is
very
considered
small,
illegal.
People can creep through there.
Yeah, well, at one point, whole entire humans could go in here. But then they rewound it, as you can see. They got all wound up.
Any reports? Yeah, it looks all wound up again.
When I first did this, the postal employee came out and was screaming at me, and she took a bunch of pictures of me. And
that was a year ago.
Yeah, 12 months ago, and took pictures of me putting up the stuff, and... Nothing happened as a result of that.
Well, he was able to express himself. Enabled people to come out with their true feelings.
Yeah, I got them to...
That's healthy.
Yeah, yeah. It was funny that she's all upset. And then, of course, they, like Grace and others inside the post office, because this is my post office where I post my mail.
Oh, yes.
And receive my mail. And she's always really friendly. She asked me how the homeless are doing. And a bunch of the clerks are very supportive, and then there's a couple that are not. So it's interesting.
Now, what about folks outside and in the wake of the San Lorenzo campground clearing? Anything happen there?
There's a pig across the street.
A real pig. Wow, that's cool.
It's a small porker on Pacific Avenue.
We don't mean putting out the patrol. Well, I have heard of people are frustrated with having to catch the van out to go to the boneyard to sleep and things like that. But I don't. And then there were a lot of arrests right afterwards for warrants.
What about the last week?
But last week I haven't really.
No. My question is: is Milk's continuing the policy of tolerating no arrests under the sleeping van?
That I do think he's. Continue to do.
What about Mauro Garcia continuing the policy of no arrests in the parks after 9 o'clock at night?
That I don't know. People. I haven't heard. I know Billy and a couple of people were busted a few times, and the people were woken up and driven away from under the Water Street Bridge a few times, but I don't know if they got arrested for it. And that there were people saying they were going to resist and refuse to leave if the police came to get rid of them under the water.
The outcome of
but
that.
I don't think they were all here, so they didn't get arrested.
Or they didn't resist, one of the two.
Or they didn't resist. Yeah, well, they basically didn't get arrested. Now, whether they did something to risk arrest or not, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know the details of that. I've been actually, quite frankly, overwhelmed with the cooking because we didn't have enough volunteers cooking yesterday and because of the rain, I think. And then today, there was double duty in the same kitchen, so it was overwhelming.
There's more rain on the way, I hear.
Yeah, and there'll be more rain on the way, yeah.
Any events coming up you want to comment on?
Well, the 38th anniversary of Vunau Bombs will be happening, and there's a photo show at the Museum of Art and History. And
that's the gentrified area.
Yeah, where the rich come with it. You can actually... Funny, one day...
They close it at night, right? They close the public space at night. They fence it off.
I think they do, yeah.
I don't know if they do or not.
Yeah, I have a sense they do. But I was hanging out there one day when I was between places, and I heard these old ladies going, "Isn't this great? They don't let the homeless be here." And I, gave them a piece of my mind.
What did you say?
And I said, "That's outrageous that you would say that." That's disgusting. Everybody should have the right to be here.
To which they replied.
Well, they just stomped off angry, of course.
And you drove away the good middle class.
Good middle class, yeah.
That's no way to essentially homogenize things. To extend your arm. Where's your nonviolent approach, McHenry?
Yeah, right. I think that's outrageous. So, yeah, it's really intense.
Anything else?
No, I need to lay down.
Well, maybe this guy with the camera here can give us some ideas. Mr. White, I don't mean Mr. White Man, but Mr. White. We're going to call you by your proper name, sir.
White a Million. How about White a Million?
I don't know about that one. So what's you made your way over here from Salinas today, perhaps expecting a massive police presence and finding a bunch of drummers and some old soup servers. Well, what's your reaction?
Oh, actually, no, I kind of figured that this would be almost a non-event, which is, you know, it's just another typical day. I'm hoping they got at least 150 people walking by. Year of the anti-homeless fence party. I was here for the first one. Of course, I didn't want to miss the next one. I've seen a couple people, actually, that were here the last year. They didn't stay very long, but we did get to say hi and stuff. So it was nice.
I was wondering if they were going to start a second encampment here, which is, of course, what happened a year ago.
That actually, I think it would be good. I mean, you know, people seem like they're getting pushed around. I don't know the pulse here very well, but it seems like people are just systematically getting pushed further and further away from downtown. Freedom sleepers to here, here to the river, there to the boneyard, concentric circles away.
Well, it's nice to have them out of our hair, you know what I mean?
Oh, my. Well, how are we ever going to generate tax revenue if we don't get rid of all those undesirable people?
If we don't have tax revenue, how can we possibly provide all the wonderful services that so help the homeless?
Gosh, well, and Santa Cruz is actually a pretty beautiful town because of an awful lot of free thought. And an awful lot of free thought is because you're too poor to do anything else.
But not much free shelter.
That's a charge. Yeah.
It's a little, but not a lot. And it's a good question as to whether as you heard, they're enforcing the anti-homeless sleeping ban and park closing law. I don't know. They may or may not be. I'm not sure what the story is for that. And
there you are.
Hi, Mom, yeah, as we say in the business. Anything coming up in Salinas or any events you want to mention that people listening to this show on Thursday, if I do play it on Thursday, although I've got a long thing of yours that I haven't played yet, the interview we did the other day.
Well, that's all right.
That's all right. You know, I might
trash it if you want it.
I almost never trash interviews. I'm, you know, too lazy. I don't want to go out and get new stuff, so I play years old and flashbacks from 1995, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I did see that one. Although, you know, I'm so caught lost in trying to catch up with my emails that I can't listen to shows anymore. Sorry.
I wouldn't if I were you.
Right. Well, I don't even want to watch my own things again, but I gotta process all that, and so I end up watching it two or three
times. You're patiently. I don't process them. I just throw them up their hole. It's amazing. So anything else coming up you want to comment on?
Gosh, well, you know, we are trying to do a lot of community-led effort. It is election year, and who knows if we did develop a homeless slate, something that is meaningful-based, person-based first, maybe even exclusively. We need to try to drive up a slate down there. We're going to try to do that up and down the Salinas Valley and just start treating people like people. That includes the homeless. That includes what you want to call illegals or whatever. Start monitoring ICE, do cop watch on ICE, and you know, go Sanctuary City. And I think that would also inspire us if Salinas and other places were mature enough as communities to want to actually start sacrificing of themselves and belittling themselves so that other people can get propped up. You know, this is all kindergarten type mentality that we need to revisit and be redirected by. And if we don't, then we're jerks and assholes for it. So, you know, let's start maturing. That's the kind of thing I'm looking for.
Maturation Now, the latest rallying cry of Wes White, whose name I have now fully exposed to all the vigilantes who are, of course, seeking you out.
Come and get me.
Anything else, Wes?
No, man. Thanks for coming out. It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
I like your beard.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm trying to catch up to you.
Won't happen. Yours looks much more nicely formed. Mine is Scraggle City, as we say.
I got it trimmed a week ago.
Really?
And you know, it's not. It's only whiskers at this point because it's not past the collarbone. It's got to go past the collarbone for the beard.
Whiskers, beard, interesting. And again, we've been talking with
Wes White from Salinas.
Thanks, Wes. And now some quick clips from various places in the last week. Here's Brent Adams. Caught him a few days ago. And you can also check his Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz Facebook page, which has some interesting commentary on the Boneyard River Street Campground, the barbed wire area, which you cannot
leave except by the special transportation services, and you cannot come up there on your own. But it does provide the first ever city-run campground, and there are tents there and discussion of it by Brent on his Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz website. Here's Brent. Okay, well, today is March 15th. It's around 2:40, and I'm talking with a winter shelter maestro, Brent Adams. Hi, Brent.
Warming center. Hi, how are you?
What did I say?
Winter shelter. They
all... Oh, whoops. Yeah, no. You're right. Winter shelter, no. A warming center, yes. So you're on your way to pick up some folks. You say a woman with a baby that is
out? Yeah, what happens with the warming center, since it is open infrequently due to funding and by design, as to not be a redundant shelter but only focus on hypothermia, extreme conditions, the hotline is used primarily for people to find out when and where we're open. Are we open tonight? But often people call it because if they have immediate needs right now, can you bring me a blanket, this or that? Well, somebody just went under the Highway 1 overpass at Emmeline and noticed a young couple with an infant sheltering there, and I just went to go see them. Yes, they are definitely like laying on the pavement waiting for the rain to break so that they can get enough amount of time to walk across town to the winter shelter. Today being Thursday, I think that intake is at Loudon Nelson. So that's it's a couple miles. Anyway, they look really bizarre just laying there on the concrete among their blankets and things. So I'm taking the shuttle to go drive them across town.
And the rain is still coming down where you are?
Yeah, actually, it's not raining at all right now. You know, it's intermittent. That's why the warming center isn't open, because the quality of rain is well under half an inch today, and temperatures well above 40 degrees. Those factors do not activate the warming center. But at this moment, it's not sprinkling. I think they're looking for a big break. I can see that their clothing is damp, which meant they got caught in a downpour. You know, they just, you know, it rises and falls over the minute.
Have you observed whether the either Caltrain or Parks and Rec or any other city employees or private security guards are clearing away camps near Highway 1? Because I drove by there the other day, and I noticed some ranger or city activity in that area.
Yeah. I'm trying to get a hard story on what the general practice is rather than the hit-and-miss stories that we find. The hit-and-miss stories include what we've always heard over the years, recently, that they are destroying. They're confiscating unattended personal belongings. That's clear. That's the Parks Department, the Rangers. They're encountering, you know, a shopping cart with a tarp over it with someone's personal belongings left unattended. They will take that and put it in the truck and discard it, because they don't have the Rangers and the Parks Department, they still do not have a storage program. Only the police department does. It would if they find belongings that seem valuable, they say they will drive them over to the police department and have them put into, but that requires a name associated with the object. But in terms of destroying camps, people are telling different stories that are a little conflicting. Yeah, I think that they have, since the city-funded River Street encampment, the city, the Rangers, the police do seem to have stepped up their game in terms of writing citations, moving people along. What we're hearing is, like, more aggressive assertions from the Parks Department and PD, like direct, like, what is your plan today? Where are you from? Will you be going back there? Things, you know, like things you didn't used to hear. Direct questions about somebody's present experience and what they, you know, to a certain extent, maybe that's very proactive and helpful for some people. For others, that's not helpful at all.
Have you, I don't know if you've been watching the online stuff, for example, at Santa Cruz Indie Media. There's a story there about a fellow who reports being beaten by, yeah. I guess we could call them troll busters, and then while police were looking on, and then driven to the edge of town and dumped by the cops. Have you gotten any direct kind of accounts of this kind that you find credible?
No, that's a difficult story to relay, because it's a secondhand story, if you recall, put out there by his sister,
right,
who lives remotely in another town. I know that you want to talk to John Colby, or otherwise known as John Cohen, or whatever he's calling himself today. He has done some research. I know that he did locate the person in the Santa Cruz County Jail last night. But in terms of the story of what happened to that person, it's too, you know, it's too, you want it from the person. It was a confusing story. You couldn't actually tell what was real in that story.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I'm not really, I mean, I mentioned as an example, his name is supposedly Tommy Baca.
Yeah.
And I emailed his sister that if she wants to, you know, talk about it on the air, again, secondhand account, or if he wants to call from jail, you know, he could do that.
It's too many gradations away from the actual story and the time that it actually happened.
But have you heard of any?
That story has some confusing elements to it. Hold on, I got a hello. I'm going to loop right by it. All right, I'm picking up these people now.
All right, well, so maybe I should let you go, unless, of course, if they decide they want to, you know, tell their story, call me up and I will put them on the radio if they feel like it.
Yeah, that could happen. Maybe. Well, I know that they are from, I believe, Salinas or something like that. They're from out of town. They're quickly trying to access services locally, and they're staying as a family unit with a 2-year-old, 3-year-old child in the winter shelter currently. They're trying to get into the Reveille family shelter. They're putting on a long wait list. I don't think that people who are recent arrivals into Santa Cruz get very good preference in that regard, but I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Their daughter is probably the cutest human being in the city right now. I've never seen a kid that adorable. But looks like I've got to go here. Let's talk soon.
All right. Thank you, Brent.
Bye-bye.
And there are a couple of stories on Santa Cruz Indie Media that interest me. One of them was this story by the relative of Tony Baca. If I got his name right here. If you want to check out the account on Indie Bay, which hasn't really been amplified, and I haven't heard from anything from jail. Getting a lot of harassment calls from one nutty guy, unfortunately, so it's kind of taking up my phone messages, but I shall persevere. and if I hear more from actually that from the jail or from his sister, then I'd be, you know, passing that on to folks out there, you guys and you gals. And again, you can read this story. Personal account details brutality by First Alarm Guards as SCPD looks on. And it's by Santa Cruz Police News. And I did get an email from, I believe it was his sister, and that Sheila Marie. So, another story I want to update, and I was able to speak briefly with Aaron Clark of Bro Prints Screen Printing. Some controversy about the sticker you may have seen around town of a picture of a thin guy smoking a cigarette with a baseball hat on backwards in the crosshairs of a rifle saying Street Cleaner Santa Cruz Meth Head Cleansing Project. And Clark has gotten considerable flack on Indie Bay for these stickers coming out of his printing business, although he gave a lengthy response online. You can read his response, and he also sent me a response pretty much repeating what he said online. I'm trying to get him to come on the radio to be more specific, and I'm going to try to continue to do that, but he's reluctant to do that. But he does say he cares about homeless folks, and, well, he has a number of responses. I'm not quite sure what exactly it is he wants to correct, and hopefully I can get that more clearly from him and maybe bring it up if it's still an issue by Thursday when they have another shorter show coming down. He claims a lot of people work at Bro Prints, so he isn't responsible for everything that goes out. He feels it was in bad taste. He doesn't acknowledge that it's threatening He does not regard it as hate speech. He does talk about his sympathy with those who are concerned with drug abuse and the crimes that are involved with drug abuse in terms of theft. He denies any association with Take Back Santa Cruz. And he's concerned that his business is going to suffer as a consequence of this as characterization of him as a sort of an anti-homeless hate speech enabler, which he denies being. My thought would be to try to get him to put out some pro-homeless stickers, and that might be something I might do in the days ahead if I ever get into it. And you can find this on Indie Bay by going to the right side of the screen, the Santa Cruz Indie Media, and looking for anti-houseless stickers spread in Santa Cruz public areas by William Machtes. And you can examine the pro and con arguments yourselves and see examples of some of the stickers that have prompted concern. Now a few short audio bits, and then we're going to get to the flashback. A couple nights ago, I went to a rent freeze explanation of the ordinance that the city council passed, and it was largely in a room which included a lot of landlords. There was about 25 people there. Presentation by California Legal Rural Assistance and other activists working to sign up for the ballot and also pass the rent control and just protection for a renter's ordinance that is coming up, if it gets on the ballot, in November. They refused to allow us to record this, or they asked us not to, and I respected that. I sometimes don't in a public occasion. The city council tells me to place my tape recorder off to the side. I ignore them and continue doing so, recording from the best spot. But I'm sympathetic with rent control folks. And I went along with it. I think they're a little paranoid about the whole thing. And here's some of my thoughts and some of the few bits of interviews I did then. Well, we begin in the hallway outside and before the rental discussion, the rental ordinance discussion.
Here at the Loudoun Nelson Center, standing with a longtime worker there. What's your name, sir?
I don't want
to... Anomalous. Right. He's anomalous. He did point out to me that there is a wrought iron fence going up around the Loudoun Nelson. Plus, isn't this a new area here? There's some tables and chairs in the main corridor.
It's a waiting area. If you're waiting for a class, you can come here or use a cafe.
Had this been a previously open area? What was it?
No, it was the senior offices is what it was.
Good. I'm glad to see it converted. What's the story with the bathrooms being closed?
Lots of vandalism, drunk people, people getting high in there, finding needles, people destroying some of the doors to the stalls and the paper towel dispensers, all that kind of thing, so handle on it.
How long has it been closed?
It's been a couple weeks now.
What's important to note are the specifics involved. This was the excuse for closing the downtown bathroom, the only 24-hour actual bathroom, as distinguished from a porta potty, that's ever been open in Santa Cruz, and that was right across from New Leaf Market on Soquel Avenue. And it was eventually closed because, not so much because of vandalism, but because people went in there to seek shelter on cold nights. And that became the excuse for shutting off facilities. And, of course, then we had a hepatitis A epidemic the next year. Smart thinking, the city council, Parks and Rec, whoever's covering that. But, you know, the guy talking is Skidmark Bob, and he identifies himself toward the end of this bit. And he has been, of course, on free radio and has been, in the past, much more active in, well, maybe he's active now. I just haven't heard much of his activities in terms of actual cop watching. He was big into the cop watching 20 years ago or so, or more than 20 years ago. And, you know, I'm not saying that he should still be doing the same thing, but he now is employed with the Loudoun Nelson Center. And if you're going to get this kind of an account, it's really important to get the specifics. How many times was there vandalism? How much did it cost? How much crap is piled up outside the door because people don't have access to a bathroom? These are real issues that are as important as suddenly dragging out the, oh, it's been vandalized, oh, and so let's have to shut it down, that sort of stuff. I mean, it's worth considering the claims and concerns, but the best thing to do is get the specifics, which I have to admit I did not get. This is a short audio, and I was en route to the renter protection stuff. So there you have it.
And is there any intention of reopening them, or is it simply, you know, another one of those goodbye to all the poor people at Restroom?
I'm not sure. That's people out of my pay grade are making those decisions.
But you should be the man making the decisions. You've been here longest.
Not really.
Well, you've been here for a while.
JJ's been
That's
here
true. JJ has been here longer. That's true.
30 years.
He looks like an old-timer to me behind the desk. Well, anything else planned at Loudon Nelson? I know I've heard that the Dreamcatcher and elders sometimes come here for lunches.
Mm-hmm. Lots of people do.
And occasionally people sleep here on the porch and leave.
In the park.
And how is our Parks and Rec people going after park sleepers after hours or not?
No, that would only be the police that would possibly do that if they do. But I believe that the police chief... kind of.
Some months ago he did, and then the San Lorenzo campground closed, and there was a rash of tickets and arrests. I wasn't sure what the story is at the present time.
Yeah, I don't know much of that story either. But
when will you be doing some decent musical? You still do musical stylings, or do we expose who you are on this particular?
Sometimes I do, but not off lately. I haven't.
How can people get the work of that fine musical stylist? How can they attune to what you're doing?
popdefectradio.blogspot.com.
As in days of old.
Yes.
And I won't say we've been talking to.
Skidmark Bob.
Hey, thanks, Joe.
All right.
You take care, man. All right. So I'm outside the rent freeze discussion. So I'm outside the rent freeze discussion here in the Loudon Nelson. It's been told by several of the presenters or organizers, Cynthia Berger, Nora Hockman, that there is no recording allowed inside. They're trying to protect the tenants. And well, there's a pretty large contingent of landlords here. It's a relatively small crowd, about 20, 25 people, smaller than I've ever seen in room 3 here at Loudon Nelson. Right now we have a presenter from CRLA talking about the specifics of the law, which will sunset in September if enough signatures aren't raised for to put it on the ballot, and in November if it, it will sunset in November, either to be replaced by a rent control ordinance that's been passed or just eliminate it altogether if it's not passed. I was going to ask, and may still, because I'm here hoping to interview some of the activists involved in this, what kind of behind-the-scenes negotiating happened with the city council to encourage them to pass this emergency freeze, which, according to Nora Hockman, is the only one in the state, although there was one in... Santa Rosa, which apparently was thrown out because of some sort of confusion about it being passed as an emergency measure, something to that effect. So that's some of the update, and I'm enjoying, well, I don't know if I'm enjoying it, but it's an educational session. I'm going to go hear some more and then pass it on to you. I'm here at the rent control aftermath, and I'm learning that some folks are not being covered by the rent freeze or even the proposed rent protection, just eviction, and rent control ordinance, because they're being victimized by the Costa-Hawkins law that essentially excludes rent control after 1995 in most cases. I'm not entirely clear on all that. They would talk, but they're a little apprehensive about retaliation from a landlord. I'm talking to moved from the Central Valley
6 years ago and found the rents considerably higher. So where they used to live were 1,000. When they got here 6 years ago, 2,500 was what they had to rent for here in an equivalent property, I would assume. Mm-hmm. And then now the rents are 3,600. And of course, they are in a situation where, well, at least this is a truism and it's kind of like a cliche, but you were saying this to me. I'm taking pains not to catch the voices of these subversive tenants on tape or on audio. But one rent check away, or at least one illness away, or one job firing away from trouble.
And that's about it for the topical current version of Bathrob Spears Broadsides. I have received email account of citations and arrests by the SCPD in the last month and a half, and I'm going to be able to look them over, although these accounts, in spite of my request, do not include the address of the people arrested or cited. And what that means is you can't tell if there's discrimination or unusual impact happening to people who are poor, homeless, houseless, outside, what you will, but you have to go through the individual citations to do that. I don't think I'm ever going to do that, although I do have some potential volunteers, and we'll see if that happens. But I will look over to see if the obvious kinds of citations seem to be happening at the same rate, a higher rate, or a lesser rate than they were before the closing of the San Lorenzo campground. There is concern that the San Lorenzo campground, which was closed on February 28th and is replaced in part by the Barbed Wire Boneyard River Street campground, that the River Street campground was simply a pretext for closing San Lorenzo, and the San Lorenzo then became the closing of it became the pretext or the presence of the River Street campground, even though it's filled up and there's a waiting list, became the basis for Andy Mills being able to cut loose with the police, and the same with Parks and Rec. We'll see if that's actually true. I'll try to report back to you on that. And I'll also have some reports from Manteca and other places regarding fights against the criminalization of the right to sleep in those different cities. The flashback you're going to be hearing is the Sunday, May 25th, 2008 show, including wake-up call host Thomas Levitt and myself discussing first alarm security harassment of the homeless and city employees in public spaces downtown. I don't know if that's in or by city employees. A flashback, further flashback within a flashback, to November 1997, when activist David Silva is on community TV debating the sleeping ban repeal initiative of 1997, which did not pass, but did receive thousands of signatures to go on the ballot with Chris Wilder and Barbara Hall. Then there's attorney and call-in Ali Ibrahimzadeh, again talking about the sleeping ban. I talk about the Santa Cruz police's no recording policy, as well as Sergeant Lamas's assault on elderly activist Donna Dice, and Ed Davidson on the reduced public input to Santa Cruz City Council, and a little bit from Chris Worthington of the Berkeley City Council on his proposed Sunshine Act at that time. That was in 2008. You can also hear the whole discussion and the whole show if you go to the archive of the oldest shows on the Huff website at huffsantacruz.org. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrob Spears Broadsides. Check out the Tuesday City Council meeting if you want, when there will be a 7 p.m. special session specifically on the community policing issue and public safety, around also Parks and Rec Ranger activity. We'll see if they're coming down on the homeless, or maybe we'll get to watch them dodge the questions. We'll see what happens there if you show up. And then again, at the Huff meeting, you're welcome to come to that. That's at the 11 o'clock on the day after Wednesday, this next Wednesday, the 21st. And on the 22nd, this show comes back at 6 o'clock in the evening on the same station, or your same computer, as the case may be. Thanks for listening. Call between times with any reports at 423-4833.